So, Troy, thank you very much for having us here in Building 10 to chat with you a little bit about what the work you've been doing from a WPF perspective for this servicing release. We've just come over from chatting with Ian and Kevin and talking with them a little bit about the kind of the broad landscape of what we've been trying to do with this servicing release. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can just start by just introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about what your role is within the WPF team.
Sure, my name is Troy Martez. I'm a program manager. I run the setup. Specifically what we've been working on for this release is our new deployment story for the .NET Framework client.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about this. I know that one of the challenges that I think a lot of people face when they're building a particularly consumer application is how do they deploy not just their application, but often the framework as well, because not every machine has the .NET Framework on their machine. Is that connected with the problem you're trying to solve here?
That's exactly where we're trying to solve a problem. The overwhelming majority of people out there that is running Windows is still running Windows XP. And the Windows XP does not come with the framework installed. So when people are trying to deploy applications based on the .NET framework, in particular WPF, which is the team that I work on, you got to take that into account when you're trying to deploy your application. ISVs and other kinds of developers don't want to take on the burden of installing the full framework. And even though, you know, we tell them we have a web-based installer that, you know, really is not that cumbersome, it's still something that they don't want to necessarily manage. Right? So to that end, that's where we sort of came up with the idea for the client framework. And it's a smaller framework, a subset, if you will, of the larger framework that's specifically geared towards clients. And in that respect, there's Click Once, WinForms, WPF is included in there. We install that for the developer, and then we can also actually install their application as well.
So this is essentially a client profile, as it were. It's a kind of a cut-down version of the framework optimized for client scenarios.
That's right.
And how cut down is it? I mean, what kind of size are we looking at for this?
So the size that we were aiming for was about 25 to 30 megabytes. We got to about 27 megabytes in size for the client framework.
Right. So 27 megabytes, and that's includes, well, maybe you can just go through the kind of things that are in and things that are out
to
get to 27 megabytes.
So we have to include the common language runtime. We can't do anything without the CLR. So that's
right.
The base layer that we sort of start out from. Building on top of that, we also thought about what are some of the things that client developers currently use today. So we included Click Once. Client developers have a legacy of also doing WinForms, so we included WinForms. The other type of client functionality is Windows Presentation Foundation and Windows Communication Foundation as well. We included those items in there. And then we've also included some additional functionality that was built in since .NET Framework 3.5 and also will be included in 3.5 Service Pack 1.
Okay, so some of the new features that we've been talking about, going around chatting with some of your colleagues.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to be a lightweight thing. It's going to help me get the .NET Framework installed into an XP machine. Obviously, we've already got Windows Vista. Then the good news is that I've already got WPF installed on the system.
That's right.
So maybe you could just kind of talk us through the process. Let's say that I'm an ISV. I've just finished my wonderful application. What should I do to target this? How does this get built? What happens when it gets installed on the client machine? How does it look to an end user also?
Okay, all right. So first let's start out with development of the application. There are some changes that have been made to the runtime framework that have to be taken into account when you're developing your application. So one of the first things that people have to take into account is when in their project, by default, any project that anyone creates is automatically targeted at the latest version of the framework, .NET Framework 3.5, which is the currently released version out there. So we have to change that particular setting so we can target the client. So now there's a new option in Visual Studio where you can specifically choose the checkbox that says target client only framework. And so in effect what this does is modify the project so that way when it compiles, it checks the reference assemblies within the project against a client file list that we have of assemblies.
Right.
And if it doesn't match up, then it gives you a compiler warning to let you know you're referencing something that is not included in the client file list, and it may show up as method not found exceptions at runtime. So we want to try to avoid that kind of bad behavior from apps.
So let's say you're referencing something like you're using the workflow engine, for example,
exactly.
And that's not in the client profile, then it's going to just say to you, you know, heads up, this is not going to be compatible with this library.
Correct. It'll tell you that the reference you have, and it'll give you the specific reference is not included in the client file list, and that then the app developer has to then make a choice.
Right.
Do I remove that reference and maybe modify my application, or do I put in, do I maybe change what I'm targeting back to the full framework?
Right.
Second thing that checkbox does for targeting the client-only framework is that it adds an application configuration file to the app. That has a special declaration in it that says SKU equals client. That declaration declares to the client framework and also to the full framework that this is specifically as a client application framework and let it run on the client subset. Reason being is that why we chose to do that sort of thing is for the most part, most of or almost all the applications that exist today are dependent on the full framework. We don't have any division between a client and a server or anything like that within the framework. So it's just taken for granted that that stuff is going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, we want to make sure that when an application runs, that we take that into account and have it declare, a client application declare itself as such.
Right.
So that way, at runtime, it doesn't cause any method not found exceptions. And then if it also catches and tells the application that this application requires the full framework, would you like to go and install it? Because it realized it only has the client on the machine.
So if you've got a full application there, you're running it on the machine that's only got the client profile, then they're going to essentially get a warning message.
You get a pop-up box that says it requires the full framework.
Okay.
Do you wish to install it right now? And
okay.
Direct you to the full framework.
Okay, great. So that's kind of the process as a developer. As I'm going through the development process itself, how do I know whether I'm targeting client profile subset functionality or not? Do I get any help from IntelliSense or you know, how should I think about my application development process so I don't get caught out at the wrong end of the development?
So to IntelliSense, the issue that we have with regards to IntelliSense is that the framework, the client framework, and the full framework are essentially the same thing.
Right.
There's no difference between binaries or anything like that. So to that end, it's kind of hard for IntelliSense to be able to detect, are you using an API that is you know, not available in the client or vice versa, because we don't have a separation of anything.
Mm-hmm.
In future versions, we probably will make that separation and add that into the assembly metadata, but that's still on the drawing board kind of thing. So I don't even know if that'll ever get off the drawing board. But in any case, if a user wants to be able to develop specifically for the client, they have to fall back on the compiler warnings. We do match up the reference assemblies against the assemblies in that client file list. And that's where they'll be able to tell whether or not they're falling within that profile of the client framework.
So then one of the important things for a developer to know who's thinking about building an app targeted at the client profile is that they need to kind of be tracking what assemblies they're calling. Essentially, it's the same physical assemblies, right? It's the same identical binaries that you're targeting either way. So they can just know, okay, I know that link for SQL is missing, or I know that workflow is missing, or ASP.NET is missing.
That's right.
So it should be possible, at least at that kind of system level, to be able to look at the components that an application needs to reference.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's an API by API level.
Correct.
Kind of this works, but this doesn't work. That should make it a lot easier, hopefully.
That's right, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, that really kind of helps me understand how a developer might target this. What about from an end user's perspective? What differences are they going to see with this? How does this help? Something like my mom install a WPF application.
Right. So there's going to be, for lack of a better term, we're going to have two modes in which you can install the client framework. First mode, the one built that's going to be built into Visual Studio, is where specifically you can have your application pre-install the client framework for you. Before the application itself gets installed.
Uh-huh.
There's no special user interface to it. It basically installs the way the same framework, full framework, will install as well. When the app is, say, downloaded through the publish mechanism, or the app is, say, put on a file share somewhere and someone wants to come install it, it's still the same experience before. It'll start the .NET framework client installer. It'll give you some prompts to accept some end user license agreements, and it'll show you the progress bar and everything will work that way it previously did, and then it'll install the application for you.
Right.
That's the simplest way that you
can
do it.
Bootstrapping it.
Exactly.
Right.
The second way that we're going to also support is where you can then customize the entire setup and user interface experience. So let's say some application has a specific brand that they're trying to sell. They're trying to brand their application. They want to carry that experience from the first installation all the way through to the end when their application is actually installed, and have that same UI feel to it. So we will allow the end user, we will allow the developer to specifically customize that user interface. And they can specify a background, they can specify whether or not they want to have transparent backgrounds or the Chrome, anything like app like that. They can also specify what gets installed in there. So obviously one of the things they want to have installed first is the client framework.
Yeah.
But we don't really limit it to that. They can install their application, any additional prerequisites they might have. So for instance, we're developing a starter application where we sort of require the SQL CE as an example. You can add that in as a prerequisite to your application. And to the user, the end user, what that'll show up is as here's a UI that came up with a specific brand for that application. They accept a user license agreement, if one is such, and then they get the progress bar. Now, while all those things are installing, the UI looks exactly the same.
Right.
There's no difference between the installer for the framework, no installer for, say, SQL CE, mm-hmm. No difference installer for the application itself. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the application, developers can say, just simply start the app after setup is done. And then it'll transition from the end of the installation directly into the application itself. So theoretically, and there should be no difference if they've customized the UI to look like their app, it should be one simple transition all the way through.
And so does that, because I mean, the kind of challenges there are usually things like, you know, how you track progress as you're sort of going through the app. Mm-hmm. You kind of handle that kind of scenario there?
Yes,
as well?
We also handle that as well. So one of the things that Windows Installer does is that they have a pipe, if you will,
uh-huh.
that you can do. Our setup bootstrapper will listen to that pipe and report back the progress to the end user. So that way it can transition from installing the .NET framework to installing anything that's prerequisite for the app, and then it's on the app and give you the full progress all the way through.
Great, because that's obviously one of the challenges you often see with apps is you kind of go through this and you think it's nearly at the end, and then it's running back to the beginning again, or it hangs mm-hmm. there at the end. There's all that kind of... Mm-hmm. So this is all MSI-based, right, is what you're saying?
The Bootstrapper, no, is agnostic to MSI.
Okay.
So we can actually do ClickOnce deployments. Now, ClickOnce in the background also uses Windows Installer mm-hmm. as well. And we'll also report that promise for a Windows Installer application.
Right.
But no, it's not specific to that. We can actually install anything that's an XE,
an
example.
Right.
We specifically handle Windows Installer a little better because a Windows Installer application can report progress, but if a prerequisite for an app, say, is just an XE, mm-hmm. well, we don't necessarily know how to handle it, so we just execute it.
Right. And so then how much customization? You mentioned things like backgrounds and things. Can I get into the installer at all? Or how are you shipping this installer? Is it source code or?
So as of our official release come the RTM of 3.5 SP1, you'll be able to modify the XML. It's all XML based. So in the XML we have a deployment XML and mm-hmm. defines specifically what is to be installed, mm-hmm. and then also defines how the UI is supposed to look. And those contain references to external images or anything like that that you might want to have. And all you do in that deployment XML is specify that I want the window to not have any scroll bars. I don't want the window to have a title bar. I don't want the window to have any transparent background, for example, and no Chrome on there. And then you can set a background, and you can have a background have an odd shaped set of square, or you can have it round, or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can specify the locations of, say, title bars, buttons, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
And, yeah.
So this is, I can really see how for a lot of consumer apps that are out there today using WPF, this will really enable them to build a much more rich sort of integrated kind of experience.
Yeah.
What if I've already got the .NET framework on my machine? Let's say I've got a Windows XP machine, I've already installed, you know, .NET Framework 2 or even .NET Framework 3.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use this as a way to kind of get up to kind of the 3.5 Service Pack 1,
yeah.
the innovations there?
Yeah. So the framework is primarily geared towards Windows XP, or I should say that. The client framework Bootstrapper is primarily geared towards XP, but it can also handle all the different OS platform combinations
right.
that exist out
Vista
there.
Vista,
exactly.
Framework 3. And, yeah.
and even the server as well. Like, so some people, say here, even at Microsoft, we got a bunch of people that have the server installed as their desktop machine, and we can
right.
install to that as well.
Right.
But we won't install the client framework in that respect. And
yeah.
So in those scenarios, what we wind up doing is installing the full framework.
Uh-huh.
The end user experience still remains the same.
Right.
So we'll start the full framework installer. If they've only got 2.0 in there, that'll be upgraded. Yeah. If they've only got 3.0, it'll be upgraded, and so on.
Right.
The UI will look exactly the same. It'll still show the progress bar.
You don't remove functionality from somebody, right? You don't have to say, right, you used to have this, now you don't have the full thing. Right, I see. And similarly with Windows Vista, of course, again, Windows Vista ships with .NET Framework 3, so this provides a way to kind of move people forward to
the full 3.5 installer, yeah.
Okay, good. And when I think of this sort of client profile, how do I get from that to the full version? Let's say that I later install another application that needs more than the client profile has to offer. How do I kind of get from A to B there?
So there's going to be two ways that sort of can happen. One is if later on one of the things we'll be able to do with the client framework Bootstrapper is specifically say that we want to install the full framework.
Mm-hmm.
So we can install the full framework there, and that'll be one way mm-hmm. that someone can get. If they've have the client framework installed, they'll install this app, it'll require the full framework, and the full framework will be installed.
Mm-hmm.
If they... if they've got another application that, say, does not have an installer whatsoever, let's say someone just simply copies an .exe onto that machine, if that .exe didn't declare itself as a client application, like we mentioned before, well, then the framework will, say, prompt the user to install the full framework.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, the last way is through Windows Update.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the Windows Update on most Vista machines, an example, is scheduled to run on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
We have it set, we're going to have it set at the time that we release, where if the client framework is detected on the machine, then Windows Update will flag that machine to bring it up to the full framework installer, so that if at a later point, say that the person comes around with an .exe that they copied it onto the machine and didn't go through an installer,
mm-hmm.
they did that at a later point after Windows Update ran, then their application will run just fine, and mm-hmm. they don't have to make any special provisions for that machine.
Right. Well, I think it's a kind of nice kind of model then, because it makes it very easy for people to start getting to their first screen of their app really quick, and then over time they can sort of, you know, it doesn't mean that they've got to do anything to kind of take advantage of the full framework.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any tools that kind of can help you, particularly things like the setup process, the kind of customizing that maybe?
Mm-hmm. So the stuff, there's already a significant amount of that already built into Visual Studio, but we're going to do an add-in to Visual Studio that's going to release after Service Pack 1.
Mm-hmm.
And in that add-in, what it allow developer to do is customize the end-user interface, so to speak, how the look and feel is going to be, where the placement of buttons should be, whether or not you want the transparent background or something to that effect. The other aspect of that is it also specify what prerequisites you want to have installed and what Windows installer packages you want to have installed, and allow you to define what things to check for before installing this application and things like that.
Right. And we're kind of looking at late summer for the main release of the service pack.
Yes,
we'll have the client profile will be available at the same time?
No, we're probably going to do it about 30 days afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to need some time to test. But right now we're so focused on trying to get this runtime thing working.
Right. And one last question, I guess. When we think of the beta release that we're shipping this week, that we're filming these mm-hmm. videos to coincide with, how much of this experience will I see in the beta? Is it fully-fledged experience, how close is it to the final version?
Right. So one of the things that we cannot do as of the beta is we can't upgrade a client framework to the full framework.
Uh-huh.
So that's only happened on XP machines. We didn't get that one in time.
Uh-huh.
But with a little bit of customization, a little bit of elbow grease, everything I mentioned is actually capable within the beta.
Right.
So customized UI is capable within the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Installing the client framework with the customized UI and no light is available within the beta as well.
Right. So people can start building these experiences. They shouldn't expect necessarily it represents exactly the final file list of all the assemblies that are going to be in the final release of the client profile, but they can start to experiment with it, explore it, start to figure out so they can ship their product very, very soon after we ship.
Yeah, the biggest thing to take away from all of this is that the testing aspect of their applications. So the beta time frame, as you mentioned, we've got one file list, but we've actually tried to thin that down a little bit because in the beta time frame we're a little bit bigger, so to speak, the client frame. So we changed the file list from the beta than what was going to be when we release it.
So
people should test for that kind of functionality after the official release comes out.
Right.
But at the same time, They should also just do testing just in general of their apps, because while we do compilation warnings for their app when it's targeting the client framework, we're probably not going to catch 100% of the situations where someone can make an app that does not, that references an API that maybe not be included in at the client framework at that time. So some rigorous testing is probably going to also be required.
Okay. So think up front, if you're going to build an application to support the client profile, worth planning for that.
Exactly.
From the start.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Troy, it's been good. Thank you. I appreciate you giving us some of your time and telling us a bit about this release.
Sure. Thanks.
Cheers.